Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Kieran Brew, who is a property expert and real estate salesman based in the New York area and an expert on the Hamptons. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
What exactly do you do that is unique in terms of selling properties?
What I do is I work for a company called Serhant, and I like to say that we are a media company that sells real estate, because our focus really is on production of mostly video. We also do podcasts. We also do a lot of still photography, but really it's about the media that we use in order to convey the beauty of the property and the Hamptons just generally to prospective buyers. And we do that through our website, through other websites, as well as through very heavily with social media. And social media extends not only to the typical Facebook, Instagram, TikTok sort of thing, but you know, now we take it as far as YouTube and podcasts like we're doing right now, and even as far as Netflix. We recently launched this year, we launched a feature television series on Netflix featuring Ryan Serhant, and it did very, very well. It was one of the top-rated shows of the year while it was out, and you know, it just keeps pushing the boundaries of what social media really is and how we can connect with people and get our properties out there and our names established.
Tell me about the Netflix show a bit.
Well, Ryan got his start in the Bravo TV series, Million Dollar Listing New York, and he was on there for 9 years. He decided to leave to create his own agency, and the first place after New York City that he expanded to was the Hamptons. And then once he got the company up and running, about 3 years into it, he approached Netflix with the idea of creating a television show around it. So I think it was 8 episodes, began at the end of June and ran through the, you know, through it's streaming. So it starts when it starts and it ends whenever you finish watching it. And it basically chronicled the creation of the company and followed a few, probably typical 6 or 8 very dynamic real estate brokers in New York City. It was called Owning Manhattan, or it is called Owning Manhattan. Season 2 is in production right now. And, you know, it just follows the basic day-to-day in and out sort of thing about selling luxury real estate in Manhattan.
Well, I read that you specialize in getting information together to guide buyers and sellers, which would be a very important aspect of real estate sales. I recently sold a property there, and I wish we had a clear idea about how much it was worth and, you know, stuff like that. Is that fair, a fair analysis of what you do?
Well, sure. Buyers and sellers are more educated than ever because there's just so much information. And, you know, a lot of times people come to us with you know, the old expression that a little information is a dangerous thing can be really true, because a lot of times they have the data, they have the stuff in front of them, but they don't necessarily know what it means. So when and still a ton of it is it's kind of like, you know, you can remember many years ago, there was sort of the cocktail party value of a house, you know, when people would talk about real estate, because real estate has always been sort of a pastime in the Hamptons. People love to talk about real estate. And so we would talk about what so-and-so is selling their house for, what so-and-so paid for a house, and that sort of thing. Well, it's been amplified by the information superhighway, and people bragging about what they sold or bought on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else. And there's also the various websites that give people information, sometimes not all that accurate. But so people have a lot more information, and that kind of cocktail conversation is now extended 24 hours a day, like everything else in our lives, that you can access that conversation whenever you want it.
Give me an example of an unusual or extraordinary sale, real estate.
Oh, okay. I use this example all the time because it's one of my favorites. I had a property listed on the old Montauk Highway. It was an original Sheffer cottage, and the builder of the house was a playwright. His name escapes me because it's been a while since I sold the house. And he actually was walking along the beach with Carl Fisher, who had long ago lost possession of all the property. He owned so much of that property in Montauk, and they were walking along the beach and looking for the ideal spot, and they found it. It's just as you get to the flat part of Old Montauk Highway in Montauk, on the old highway. And they built this beautiful classic Sheffer cottage up on the hill in this perfect little knoll. And I had somebody who was interested in buying it, and they bid on it, and they really negotiated very, very hard. And then at the last minute, I was actually at a lacrosse game up in Bayshore or someplace, and I got a phone call. I thought the deal was done with these other people, and this guy's called me, says, my client wants to see it today. And I'm thinking, who wakes up in the morning and decides they're going to buy an $8 million house today? Why is it all of a sudden such an urgency? So I said, okay, I'll meet the guy. You never know. You have to do everything. So I go out there, and it turns out that that this guy, he's not a playwright, but he actually was a writer of TV shows. And he fell in love with the story, and he fell in love with the house, and he fell in love with the location, and he had to have it. And he said, I will pay the list price, no negotiating, whatever terms you want, but I have to have this house. And that was a really exciting one for me. The fun part about it was that when we were leaving, he gave me the buyer's name. And it sounded really familiar, and I thought, who the heck is David Chase? David Chase sounds really familiar, and when I looked him up, I remembered that he was the originator and one of the primary writers, the creator of The Sopranos. So it was just a really fun experience because that was a time when I was still very much into them, and it was a really fun experience for both the house, the location, the buying process, and then the person who ended up buying it.
How did you get interested in real estate years ago?
Well, my first experience in real estate was in the 1970s. We owned my family owned a few rental cottages in Amagansett, and every spring we would have to go in and clean them up because they were closed for the winter, and they just got covered with mildew and dirt, and they were just, I don't know if you remember, but when people used to close up their houses, opening up a house meant scrubbing and cleaning and getting everything ready. And that was my first experience with real estate. So we would get these rental cottages ready for the summer, and then we would rent them for the summer. And my family's always been involved. My father had a restaurant and bar in New York City. He ended up buying the buildings. We had tenants. We sold the buildings in 2004. And so it's just always been part of what I do. Growing up in the restaurant business, whether you like it or not, if you're in the restaurant business, you're in the real estate business. And so people used to tell me when I was in the restaurant, hey, I can buy this bottle of wine for $5 in the grocery store. Okay, this was a long time ago. I can buy this bottle of wine for $10, let's say, in the grocery store. I said, yeah, but where are you going to drink it? You're not paying for the wine, you're paying for the seat. And that's basically, when I decided it was time to get out of the restaurant business, real estate just seemed like a natural place to go.
Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Englewood, New Jersey. I went to school in New Jersey. My father had a restaurant in Manhattan and a bar and restaurant in Manhattan and owned two tenement buildings, is what they were called at the time, four-story walk-ups. And we always had a house in Amagansett.
How old were you when you first started cleaning the houses?
First started cleaning houses? As long as I could remember.
Was child labor.
It was job labor. It was job labor. Absolutely. Absolutely. My parents were pretty old school, and we did what we were told.
Where were the cottages? I know
In
my.
Amagansett. We've maintained that we've kept them in the family over the years, and I converted the cottages to a single family house, and I live there now.
Beach Hampton.
No, Indian Wells. Just across from the Lester's barn, which is now I don't know what it is now, but it's a big red barn that used to have the horse carriages in it.
Yes, I know where that is. So you've seen a lot of changes in the Hamptons and Montauk,
I
hasn't
sure
you?
have. I sure have. We try to hang on to what made us what made it a wonderful place to begin with. As much as it changes, there's still very much of what brought us here in the first place. The natural beauty, the people who come here, the people who live here, the community that's here, both the year-round community as well as the summer community. I think about it, and whenever I think that the grass might be greener somewhere else, I think about the community, and I think about the people who we have here and who live and work here, as well as the people who come to visit, and how wonderful everything is, and how vibrant it is. And we have a great cross section between a small town, which we are. I say to the people from elsewhere, I tell them that we're only the Hamptons 2 months of the year. The rest of the time, we're Mayberry. We're the middle of nowhere. So, it's a small country town that just happens to get fabulous 2 months a year.
And it has a great history, not far from where the Nazis came ashore.
Yes, absolutely. We have that. We also have 13 generations of people who still fish the same way, and who are still over there, not shucking as many scallops as they once did, but and they were not $60 a pound when I was a kid. But a lot of the traditions are still the same. And a lot of people are still hanging on to those and cherishing those traditions and values.
Yeah, and we had I thought there was a very famous playwright who lived on the old Montauk Highway, and I thought that's who was the one who bought the
No, it wasn't. That's Edward Albee.
Yes, that's what
Yes, that's who you're thinking of. No, he was a play. This was in the 40s. The story that I'm talking about took place in the 40s. Yeah, and he wrote, and these they were terrible. They were like really cheesy. Because at that time, Broadway was like going to a cheap Broadway show was like going to a cheap movie. I mean, it was just like watching television. It's just they churned them out constantly.
Madoff as well.
Yes, a lot of famous people. E.B. White had a house on Old Montauk Highway, and Ralph Lauren, I believe, still does. So it's I'm sure there are a lot of people we don't know about out there as well. Oh, what's his name? Bill O'Reilly, the television guy, or used to be television guy.
Are you out full time now, or is it still summers?
Oh no, I'm here full time. I've been here. My children go to high school here. My kids have gone to Amagansett school. I've volunteered in the fire department. I've been 20 years. I moved out here full time. It's been a wonderful experience. Raising kids here is just a magical place. It is disappointing though. I can remember the time when I said to my son at a certain age, he was probably too young. I probably should have waited. But I said, it's going to be very difficult for you to live here as an adult, just because you're probably going to have to go someplace, make a whole lot of money, and move back. Because and he looked really sad, and he said, but this is my home. And it is very sad that a lot of what we're losing, and I don't have the answer. I know I'm involved with the conversations about how we can change zoning, how we can preserve the community, and how we can do things that that will help preserve the year-round community and the people that make this place so special. Not to mention the people who do the work that keep this place running. It's a real challenge. But it turns out he likes the city better anyway.
Now there's a lot of money coming in to finance a hint.
There is, and it's you know, it's the challenge is that you know, there's always been the very, 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 you know, high end, let's call it the further lane, the houses on Cranberry Hole Road, the Devon Colony, you know, places like that, that have always been the ultra elite has always been here. The challenge now is that places like that have been year round communities for generations are now being bought by summer homeowners. And really that's a real challenge. And I don't know how that can be changed or how we can get around it, you know, to keep places available for people who live and work here and want to raise their kids here and, you know, don't work in finance.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. What do you like to do? What are your hobbies, or how do you spend your day besides work?
You know, I'm an annoying dad. I'm too involved with my kids' lives. I'm probably too much of a helicopter parent. I do. My son plays baseball, and he's still in high school. So I love to watch him play baseball and football. Those are my favorite things to do. I surf and play golf. I play a little bit of music, and actually, I'm taking a stand-up comedy class over at Bay Street, and tomorrow is the graduation. I'm hoping that my voice comes back, so that tomorrow I don't blow the graduation performance. But there's plenty to do out here, you know, there really is. And just being outdoors, sometimes I just like to take a walk to the beach.
Well, it's been really nice to talk to you while these podcasts last 20 minutes, and I've enjoyed this very much.
Well, Dan, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be here and to speak with you. And I hope to meet you in person very soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Thanks.